Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Regardless of where you are right now, you're listening to episode 46 of the Player Player Podcast, the show where we try and discuss video games in a way that everyone can enjoy. I'm your host, Joseph Hooper, a.k.a. The Hoop Man, along with my co-host, the outsider himself, Arsen Lakpa. What was that? Oh, I get it. I get it.
Can you let me in? Because I'm outside.
Dang, you got me on that one. You got me. You got me.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
You're welcome. Wait. As always, each and every Thursday, we drop a brand new episode on all major podcast platforms, delivering you another quality discussion from your two favorite baby boys.
It's us.
Wow. Wow, another week, another day, another dollar, another week, another waller. You know what I mean?
Ooh, dang, wait a minute. We're going to have to get you on Logic's next album.
Nah, don't put me on that after hearing that last album, bro. Ooh, don't put me on mess. That album.
I did not.
No, I'm just kidding. Personally. If you're listening to this Logic, you know I love you, bro. Yeah.
I like the first couple songs. There
was some, there's some good tracks on there, my guy. If you somehow stumble on this podcast and one of your close friends shows you this podcast, shout out to your boy. Keep grinding. You'll get that Grammy one day. You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead and share our podcast too. You have a large platform.
Give us a shout out in your next album.
I loved your album.
I didn't love it, but let me tell you, those first three albums. And the songs on the new album.
Yeah.
The first three classics. Moving forward, though, you got any announcements? Any notable things to note? Notable notes?
I beat the Seventh Palace of Persona.
Hey! Congratulations, my guy.
So I'm probably halfway through the game.
You're halfway through the game. 50 hours down, 50 hours to go. Easy,
yeah,
easy.
No, I'm playing. So, like, yeah, I made it to, like, the last area. And so I'm just, like, I want to play, like, again. But I'm tired of this game, bro. I'm gonna be
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, please. No, you don't got to be honest with me. Well, I guess you are being honest with me. I understand. I understand. Like, I was like, oh, dang, I got to get a platinum. I'm going to play through it twice. But by the time I got to the end, I was like, hold up, bro. Like,
and I missed already some vital stuff too. And I was like,
oh no, man. Vital stuff.
Well,
like what?
I didn't get all my stats maxed out. I had one left. I had like a couple more points to put in my kindness.
See, that's what happens, bro. That's what happens.
And then I couldn't get the speech man. He would not show up.
Oh, see, nah, bro. Like, you have to be planning perfectly from the get.
Yeah, and I didn't know that from the get last year when I started playing this game. I didn't know what I was playing. I was like, oh, okay, this is a fun game.
Then was this your first Persona?
This is my first Persona. I've never even
same.
I never even heard of this. Well, I mean, I'd heard of the game, but I never knew what it was about beforehand.
Yeah, but luckily, like, you know, listening to podcasts and stuff, like, people kind of warned me, like, hey, like, you can't be slacking around. If you want to do this, you gotta get going. But
You definitely warned me. I remember you warned me.
Oh, I did.
And I was like, yeah, whatever. And then I was like, wait a minute, hold on. So it happens, bro.
Got you looking like a fool, bro.
Indeed.
Yeah. Anything else going on with you?
Nah, no, nothing major. You got any game updates? I don't know if you want to save them for monthly cooldown. You got anything that's popping for you right now?
Just a quick brief game update. We got a little splash going. That was a nice little sound effect.
My bad. We'll save it. We'll save it for another episode.
Save what?
A splash effect. You know, I'm gonna clip it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, also, this Amazon person is right outside my door. Perfect.
Should we restart?
No. I think we got some good content. I'm just gonna cut it and we'll resume with my game updates in 5 seconds. All right, guys, we're back. I got my Amazon order and gaming updates. I got, I think maybe two. So one, beat Shadow of the Colossus with Amanda. Shout out. Right. I'll talk about that next week during the monthly cooldown. Dang. And I think I'll pick up another Switch title, probably Katana Zero. Going to Vancouver Friday for Memorial Day weekend, and I'll probably play it a little bit on the drive up there if Amanda allows me to.
Gotcha.
But you know, I gotta keep her entertained as well. So we'll see.
Okay.
If not, I'll probably play it during the week next week. Or today, why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, those are my two gaming updates. I don't have anything else. So, are you ready to jump in?
Let's jump right in.
All right. I got another segment before we actually get to the main topic, which is Goats of Gaming. We're going to be talking about Dishonored, the Dishonored franchise, Dishonored 1 and 2. But before that, I got a segment called King of the North. King of the North! This segment is honor of the beloved show Game of Thrones, which ended this past Sunday. So pour out for my homies in Westeros. Pour one out for all the people that died and survived. You know what I'm saying?
No spoilers, though.
No spoilers on this podcast. Are you watching?
Nope.
All right. So no spoilers on this podcast. I just want to say that I know people were upset this season. People were really, really pissing their pants. I was one of them during several of these episodes. Ooh, but you know,
little pee-pee baby, huh?
I was a little pee-pee baby. But now that I'm looking back on it, you know, it was a great series. I wasn't happy with some of the way things panned out in this last season, but I like the way they ended it. I feel like they did pretty good for what they, like, the hole they dug themselves into.
And they had no book to go off of, right?
They had no book to go off of. So
nice.
That's that. And now that I have that chapter in my life closed, time to talk about some video games.
Yes, sir.
Dishonored.
What about it? Tell me about it.
I'm going to do a quick synopsis of both games, basically what the game is kind of like, what the plot of the game is. If you have any comments at any point, stop me, because I'm just going to be talking so we can get to our little back and forth.
Yes, sir.
Dishonored 1, Dishonored 2, Dishonored Death of an Outsider, which neither of us played, so we will not be talking about that particular game. The Dishonored franchise is somewhat a stealth game. Like, it's very, very much a stealth game. The character you play as, you're also oftentimes sneaking around the shadows, hiding, sneaking up on people, knocking them out, stealth killing them. Very assassin-like. That's basically the gameplay style of the game, but it also allows you to go in kind of like a savage, going in, just straight up fighting people hand-to-hand, just straight up destroying people, you know, face-to-face. You don't also have to be super stealthy, but the game really, really puts you in a, really rewards you for being a stealthy player. So the general plot of the first two games, Dishonored 1, you are like this Empress's bodyguard. All of a sudden, bang, somebody, main character's name is Corvo. All of a sudden, somebody pops up, dang, gets the Empress the old 1-2, yeet, dead. Empress is dead. Not only is the Empress dead, but her little kid, her daughter, kidnapped. Very tragic. To make matters worse, everybody's saying it's your fault. You know, the high ups, like the I don't even know what their titles are, honestly, but the high ups are basically saying, hey, it was the bodyguard. He's the one that killed her. Let's go ahead and send my man to jail.
Yeah, because the assassins, they popped in. As soon as they did their deed, they popped out. They, like, used some teleportation
magic. Yeah, they used some freaking Naruto jutsu, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, you're in a bad situation. You're basically jailed. Luckily, you're transported to, like, I don't know, Voldemort's palace, dark magic place. And we got the outsider here, who is just, like, basically this otherworldly being at this point, and he's basically like, hey, you know, I'm the outsider, I'm gonna give you some magic powers. So you got magic powers. Now you have like these abilities that are going to basically set you up to take down the people that framed you in the beginning of the game.
Beautiful.
And with taking down everybody, you're able to restore peace, maybe. I say maybe because depending on your actions in the game, it very much affects the world as the game progresses, and you have two different endings depending on how you decided to play the game. If you cause a lot of chaos, you have a very chaotic ending. Otherwise, you'll have a very good ending.
I forgot all about the second. I don't think I ever saw the second ending. I've only seen one.
Well, I sure did, and I won't talk about it here. But
off podcast.
I don't even remember the ending, TBH. But fun fact about the first game, Dishonored 1, Chloe Grace Moretz also known as Hit Girl in the you know,
Kick-Ass.
What's the cult classic Kick-Ass? Yeah. And she voiced the kid. Apparently, she voiced Emily. What was the name? Was the name of the kid? And had no idea either. Probably because you don't really hear her talk in the first game that much, because she's kidnapped most of the game.
She is kidnapped.
Exactly. It's hard to speak when you're not in the game. Exactly. That's probably also explains how they could afford her.
You right.
So in the game, you come, like I said, you get a couple abilities, and these abilities basically define your gameplay throughout the game. We'll talk a little bit about that more when we talk about our favorite moments and why this game deserves to be inducted into the GOATs of Gaming Hall of Fame. But some of the key abilities in the first game is Dark Vision, which you activate, and it allows you to see like enemies behind walls and stuff. Bend Time, which allows you to bend time, essentially. Like, as soon as you hit it, things slow. And I mean, a lot of these abilities, everybody, like, you basically get used to 1, 2, or 3, and you really like master using 2 or 3 together. At least that was my experience with the game. You also have Blink, which is the number one ability, which is basically like the shadow dash, which allows you to leap from one location to another without being seen. Freaking awesome. One of the coolest abilities in gaming.
My favorite.
If you ask me. And then there's also an ability called Possession, which allows you to possess small creatures like rats or fish. And like, you know, you jump into their bodies, crawl through small spaces, and then you end up on the other side. So that's Possession. And going into the second game, Dishonored 2. You're now Emily. You're the kid. You're now Empress. Everything is everything's right in the world. Corvo set things straight in the first game. But of course, you know, something's always popping off. Somebody pops up, this lady, she has magical powers. She's basically saying, hey, look, I'm the sister of the Empress. I'm the rightful heir to the throne. We got some Jon Snow Daenerys action going on here. And basically she says, hey, first of all, Corvo, I forgot what he did, but he did something. He's killing people. You know, we didn't punish him enough in the first game. He's killing people now. We're going to blame this on him as well. He has to get these hands. And also you, Emily, you got to get the hell out of here, because I'm the rightful heir to the throne. So as we expect, all hell breaks loose. Cool thing that this game does immediately after like this little intro scene, you get to choose who you play as. You can either play as Corvo, the guy you played as in the first game. You get to master all his old abilities, or you can play as the girl. You can play as Emily, a new character, new abilities, all this stuff. And basically, regardless of who you pick, you need to basically find a way to take down this lady that basically stole your throne. And it's not as easy as it sounds, because this lady, not only does she have like the backing of like her like military coup people and like her higher ups and all this stuff, but she also has like magical witch powers. So and she also, like, whoever you don't pick in the game in the beginning, she turns them to stone. So she's serving out L's to everybody. She's got hostages, and you know, you got a long road ahead of you at the beginning of this game.
Indeed.
I played as Emily. Did you play as Emily as well?
I believe I did. You know, I'm still working my way through.
You're still working your way through. Will you finish?
I will.
Nobody knows.
Persona. I wanted to hit back on it. But I did just buy Nier Automata. So.
Oh my god! You buying all these? You did say you wanted to buy one game a month, but
yeah,
you ain't never finished Sekiro, right?
Wait a minute, I think I bought 3 games this month.
I
messed up.
Okay, we'll talk about it in the monthly cooldown. But if you do pick Emily, the new character in this game, you do get some cool new abilities. One, you have Domino, which is a really cool ability where you link enemies together. Say I knock out one enemy, the enemies that are linked to that one enemy are also knocked out. A really cool ability.
Very
helpful. Can use it in really cool ways. Mesmerize. Hey, just put somebody in a trance. You know, they're giving you problems, you can't get past them. Mesmerize them and they'll fight for you or do whatever. I can't remember exactly what they'll do. But they'll basically act like idiots and they're not a problem. You also have like the Shadow Warp ability, much like Blink. that Corvo had in the first game. And you also have Shadow Walk, where you turn into like this dark beast and you can like stealthily sneak around the area. Very cool.
Knock people out from the ground. I think I like that part of the ability the best.
Yeah, and it's pretty OP. But with that being said, both of the games story is pretty interesting. There are a lot of elements. It really reminds me of like the Harry Potter dark magic world without any of the good magic.
Yeah, like, okay.
A lot of the people in this world are playing around with like these dark forces that they don't really understand. Like there's these cult vibes in it. There's these vibes of like, oh, like I was experimenting with this stuff and like I went crazy type thing. And then there's this whole mystery about the outsider. I love it. I love the overlying plot, but in my opinion, the plot is only a little cherry on top. What really shines is the gameplay and the levels that Dishonored brings you. But before we talk about my favorite moments, I want to give you a moment to speak. I want to hear about your favorite moments in Dishonored. Cherry pick a couple of them.
I'll pick a couple of them. So I wrote down the story for me. So, you know, I obviously, you know, I think there's two sides of the coins. You got, you have your gameplay, you have your story. And for me, the story just like, I don't know, it's just really, really cool seeing this, how it all panned. Obviously, you know, I don't remember like every single menu detail. I just remember like kind of, right, like the bits and pieces from the get go where you like, you know, you get betrayed by these people. Well, obviously you don't know them, so I guess technically not a betrayal. But when you get like, you know, framed for murder, I'm like, whoa, okay. Things are popping off. Then like I think for me, one of the like defining moments of Dishonored 1 was like I consider it to be like the climax where you like kinda like confront the people who were like the assassins. And playing through that entire mission, like I feel like I think you're gonna talk about like the levels a little bit later on, but like just playing through that mission, like just seeing like how these people live and how like their type of cult, I thought was super cool. Yeah. Learning a little bit about the outsider himself, the one who's, you know, granting these powers to people. I think he granted it to multiple people. Something I don't fully remember.
He did.
But
he did.
Like seeing how that guy interacted with you, I thought it was pretty well done. Definitely, I think like we both mentioned this as being like kind of like a sleeper title, just because like I don't know when it, like I know it released in 2012, but I don't know what was going on around that time or maybe we were just sleeping on it, because you know 2012, we're little student boys living our life, I mean, trying to be studious.
Maybe even we missed it. Like I feel like 2012 it came out and like. There was like kind of like a cult following. Like I think a lot of people enjoyed it, but it wasn't like critically acclaimed or anything.
Gotcha.
And same thing, Dishonored 2 came out, which, you know, probably one of my favorite games of all time, you know, came out to good reception, but it wasn't like booming. Like people weren't going crazy about this. So it's definitely like a very niche audience that really appreciates Dishonored. People like it, but they're not really clamoring for more. So yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that's kind of like my first main point. I don't know if I want to throw it back to you to you know, for our little bounce back and forth.
Sure, yeah. So I guess one of my favorite things is the stealth.
Of course.
And like this game just does stealth right so well. Like the way it does stealth where like you can literally go through the entire game undetected. It's hard, but you can do it. Mm. You can literally, you're jumping from shadow to shadow. There's so many places that you can hide. There's so many, and this kind of goes on the level design, but there's so many different avenues that you can go about accomplishing a goal because there's so many places to hide. There's so many places to... Like, and just like the mindset like that you get into as like a stealth player. And I love stealth games. I love like hiding and like if I can get through the entire level, like killing everybody or knocking out everybody without ever being detected and having like a one-on-one fight, I think that's super awesome. And that's exactly what Dishonored does. Does it well in the first game and does it even better in the second game.
Double down.
And it really makes you think. and like it really adds like this puzzle aspect into the game. And I'll talk about it a little bit more, but like depending on how you play it, you could just say, all right, I'm just going to go in here, wreck everybody. There's my target, destroy them, and like mission accomplished. Or you could be like, all right, like this level's a wide open area. I don't want to be seen once. Like, and there's guards everywhere. Like, how do I get through this place? Which is what I love. So I'm going to throw it back to you. What's your second point, my guy?
Second point. So I know you've touched on it during the synopsis about all the different abilities you get during the game, but just like the tools that you get, I'm gonna kind of touch on both like tools and abilities, that are at your disposal. So obviously, you know, you got your base kit is basically you get a sword, kind of like a little short sword, a little dagger.
Oh, right.
For like various things, I don't know. And your gun, which, you know, a little pistol or whatever, which
your boy never used the gun.
Yeah, I'll never use the gun. Never really use the sword either, honestly, because, you know, both of us really tried to approach this as stealthily as possible, because in my opinion, that's the way to give the game the most level of like, or like an appropriate level of challenge and like a balance of like challenge and fun in my eyes. Yeah. You know, obviously, you know, people have different play styles. But then on top of those, you know, your base set, you've got a couple of other things like the sleep dart. I don't know if that was introduced in the second one.
It's definitely the second one. I can't remember if it's in the first one. I don't know if it was
in the first one. Sleep dart, I'm trying to think of some other things, but like the sleep dart is definitely one.
There's that a poison was, like, dart.
A poison dart for, you know, obviously murder, but we weren't on that murder gang. Sleep dart gang all the way. And then just the abilities you get to use. So I was a person, like, I was a big fan of like the shadow walk, because like one, it was very similar to like, almost very similar to like that possession ability, because one, it allows you to approach the game from a completely different angle in terms of like, you know, how you want to go about it. So you're shadow walking, you're close to the ground, you're this like shadow, although your shadow, which, you know, kind of makes you think that, okay, you've got like a bit of stealth element to you, which you kind of do, you still can be seen. So you have to like play around with that as well, making sure you're not, you know, in somebody's direct line of sight. Cause like, obviously, like if you're walking down the hallway and you see a shadow on the ground, like, bro,
you're like, hold up, like,
hold up a second, bro. So like, you know, play around with that. Yeah, we got to get an exorcist right now. I think, I don't know, this may be just my personal opinion, but I think blink is like the best ability out there. Cause one, it's not only used just for like, you know, just for simple, let me just get somewhere fast or something like that. It's used almost as like an enhanced way of jumping. You use it to like climb up upon ledges. You'll use it to get behind somebody to get a better vantage so that way you can, you know, knock them out, stealth them. And it's just like, it's just such a versatile tool that like, I think was like really, you know, it's so simple, obviously, because it's just like, hey, I'm just changing location. Like that's as simple as it is. But the way that it works with the way that the game like, you know, is, I think it's just like beautifully done. And then of course, dark vision, my crutch. I think like,
OP,
you know,
yeah,
it's too OP. I think that they're like, you know, that's probably one of the major concerns amongst Dishonored fans, because it's like, it's all, you know, it's just wall hacks. You get to see who's through the wall. You see which way they're facing, so you know how to approach it. But so like, it's pros and cons. Like obviously, you're like, okay, I have this ability. You don't want to use it as like a crutch, because then it's like, okay, I'm playing easy mode. But like then
I used it.
Yeah, like I used
it without it, bro.
You could like, not. Nah,
there's no way you can do this undetected, really. Yeah. I mean, there is, but it's just way too difficult.
It's super difficult. So, yeah, it's kind of like my take on the abilities. I really, really like that aspect of the game.
And I'm going to add a little bit on there. Like, for the abilities, like, there's a lot of cool, like, scenarios. Like, I feel like the abilities in this game are done so well where it's like, because you're playing a stealth game, the abilities they give you allow you to react in real time, like you would in, like, if you had these powers in real life, or you were watching a movie and like somebody reacts at the last second, just to get out of sight, or just to like knock somebody out at the last moment. Like the skills are done so well. Like there have been times where like somebody, like I'm sneaking around and all of a sudden I see somebody walking towards me, and like like there's a little meter that shows you how close they are to seeing you, and the meter's almost there, and like out of nowhere you pull out the sleep dart, shoot them real quick, and like you were just like a split second away from being caught. Or like you kind of fall real quick. Like, you fall into an open area. People kind of notice you for a second, but they haven't fully been alerted to you. Use the shadow step or the, like, the blink to get out there and, like, with, like, 1 or 2 seconds to spare. Like, that really enhances the game, and it really, like, helps you get into, like, the feel of your character. And I think that's, like, the skills really help enhance, like, the assassin stealth vibe of the game. I love. But, you know, going forward, I think this is my favorite part of the game, hands down. And that's the level design. And Dishonored 1 does it very well, but Dishonored 2 is probably has the best levels of any video game I've ever played, from what I can think. Just the way they use the levels, just the way they use the environments to help enhance the game is unbelievable. Just some examples, like for one, like, when you leave a certain area of the level, like, everything is still persisting, right? So if you knock some guy out, like, until you complete that mission, that guy is gonna stay where you knocked him out at. So there's and I'll get into this a little bit later, but there's, like, this clean hands achievement, and there's the, like, basically saying don't kill anybody in the game. Don't kill anybody. But sometimes, like, if, like, the city has gone through a lot of chaos, or, like, you're just in, like, a very hazardous place, sometimes a pack of rats will eat somebody's body.
They come in and, like,
you basically kill that guy because you knocked him out and left him there to get eaten by rats, which is really crazy. But it's, like, a really interesting take on, like, the environment and how it, like, adapts and how it, like, kind of pushes and pulls you. And then just, like, some standout moments in Dishonored 2. There's one level where it's like you're switching between past and present. Unbelievable. Awesome level. You have this little, like, Harry Potter. I keep saying Harry Potter. Yeah, this little Harry Potter device that, like, will take you into the future and then into the, like, or into the past and then into the present. And, like, that, like, using that, you traverse through the level, and, like, the enemies, like, sometimes, like, you'll jump into the past and there will be enemies from the past, like, sitting right there. And, like, the only way to, like, not be spotted by them is to jump back into the in the present, where there's, like, where, like, you're basically in this abandoned, derelict mansion. Right. Super cool. Super cool concept. There's this one level where there are rival factions, and basically you have to take out one gang leader. You could take out both, but you basically, like, you can either go to one gang, infiltrate them, and, like, either take out their leader or talk to their leader and, you know, cut a deal, or vice versa, or you could take them out both. Super awesome. And, like, depending on the way you play that, you'll have a different experience from somebody else. Okay. And I think one of my favorite levels of all time, like, in any video game, there is this mansion where you're trying to save this person who's, like, kidnapped. And this guy, you're, like, going to this mansion of, like, this Elon Musk type guy, very technological, very, very, very smart. But, and he's created, like, these AI robots that basically guard his entire mansion. And these robots, like, every other enemy in the game are humans. You just walk up to them, stealthily kill them, and it's a wrap. Or stealthily, like, knock them out, it's a wrap. In this level, you can't knock these robots out. You have to, like, destroy them. And to add insult to injury, they're hella hard to destroy. So it becomes a challenge of, you have to dodge these guys, or you have to destroy them without having them alerted to you.
Does that count as a death, like a kill, if you destroy a
nope.
one of the... Oh, okay.
Doesn't count as a kill. And not only that, but the entire level, like, shifts and moves around and, like, restructures. Like, the entire mansion is, like...
It's literally like Harry Potter again.
It's literally like the Harry Potter staircase stuff. Like, the map entirely, God. Like, depending on which levers you pull and all this stuff, like, the entire map, like, flips and turns around and does all this crazy awesome stuff that, like, when I was playing it, like, it is a very hard level to get through entirely stealthy without killing anybody. But it's just so exciting and so, like... There's so many different ways to, like, approach it and wrap your head around it. Like, unbelievable experience. And, like, basically almost every level in Dishonored 2 is like that, where, Like, there's some sort of, like, it's not even a gimmick. There's some sort of, like, theme. Or technique around the level that really challenges you to think outside the box. And if you're really trying to play the game and challenge yourself and have, like, a unique experience, like, they give you a lot of ways to tackle the levels, but they're all, like, you really got to think for them, which I love. So, level design is what, like, blew my mind on Dishonored 2. The stealth is what really blew my mind on Dishonored 1, just being, like, the ultimate assassin. So, yeah. You got more points?
I do not have any more points. That was pretty much it for me.
My last point would have been just, like, the clean hands, shadow challenges, achievements that they offer, which are not mandatory in any sense, but they basically challenge you to play the entire game without killing anybody and that's without being detected. Or you could kill everybody. That's also a challenge, but
did you, I, like, 100% not kill anybody. The game?
No. I just, like, okay. My goal was just to get the clean hands and shadow achievement in Dishonored 2, which I did. And that was such a unique challenge, and, like, the fact that you can play the entire game without being detected, without killing anybody. Super cool concept. Or you could just kill everybody, you know? The fact that you can play either or way. Super cool concept, and I think it just made the game, like if this game was a B, like, it really made the game an A for me. Just that, like, just the ability to play the game like that. Like, to play it the way you want.
So since it's an A, this means this game is an S.
Yeah, that's true. This game is an S for me. Like, personally, like, I can understand why this game isn't, like, game of the year. Like, you know, isn't highly regarded as one of the best games of all time. But I, like we said at the beginning of this podcast, I truly think that the game is being slept on. And I think we'll get into that a little bit in our final thoughts. But I think the game deserves to be inducted to the Ghosts of Gaming Hall of Fame. And I'm assuming you do too. Like, we talk about it all the time. So basically my final thoughts on this game is, like, this game is highly underrated. Number one, highly underrated, especially because of stealth games. I think this might be the greatest stealth video game out there versus Assassin's Creed. And I know that's a hot take.
Not over it,
but, like, Assassin's Creed is, like, you know, the first couple of Assassin's Creeds are, like, what it is to be, like, an assassin in that time. Like, it's a really good take and a really unique, awesome concept that they executed very well on, especially in Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood. But in terms of a stealth game, I think Dishonored is the ultimate stealth game. You're literally jumping from the shadows. You're literally warping. You're literally, like, one with the shadows. You're possessing, like, beasts, like, little animals and all this stuff, and, like, you literally can be undetected the entire game, which is, like, crazy. I mean, you can knock everybody, you can play the game without killing anybody, which is basically, like, oh, somebody gets knocked out, but they wake up, you know, a couple hours later, and everybody's like, dude, what the hell happened? And it's like, that as a concept, just thinking about it, is just super cool to me. So I think it's highly underrated stealth game. Talked about the level design. I think it has some of the best level design in any single player that I've played. You know, I don't want to say it's the best level design of any single player game ever, but it's definitely up there in terms of top level design for any single player out there, especially for the time it came out, that 2012-2016 time period. And just the fact that it gives you multiple ways to play, not only multiple ways to accomplish each objective, but multiple ways to tackle your enemies, whether it's killing them and turning them to literal ash, or just knocking them out, or possessing them, or like, you know, shooting them. Like, there's so many different, or letting them get eat by rats. There's so many different combos in the game to really cater to anybody's play style. And then there's also that little, like, steampunk, like robot, like future, but I guess that's, like, steampunk, right? There's that steampunk vibe to the game.
Say steampunk, and it's not like retro futuristic, like a Fallout. It's more steampunk.
It's more like steampunky, that steampunky vibe with the dark magic elements that really give the backstory and main plot an extra kick, I would say. So yeah, those are my final thoughts. That's why I think that this game is one of the greatest and should be regarded as such. Let me hear your final thoughts. Hit me with them boys.
I'll hit you with them boys. So if you guys ever watch a little film called Harry Potter, then I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'll enjoy this game.
I don't know, but it's Harry Potter, except if completely it was different. All about the Voldemort shit, and there was no real happy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no Ron's mom cooking dinner for her children.
There's no Whomping Willow.
Willow, I'll tell you that much. No magical creatures, just magical humans and a lot of robots.
Knocking out and murdering.
Yeah, lots of boom bam. Lots of rats too. Yeah. Oh yeah, don't forget the rats. Hey, there were rats in Harry Potter. Remember Peter Pettigrew?
Oh, you're right.
You're
basically Peter Pettigrew.
I hated him. But final thoughts. A very well made game, like for 2012, 2016. Like, I feel like it could have, I don't know if it was, but it could have been like, you know, game of the year contender if it was not. Definitely a fun, like, it's a really fun game that makes you feel like an assassin at all points of the game. You feel like, ooh, like, it. If you ever played, like Assassin's Creed, it puts you in that same, like, I don't know, mindset while allowing you to do more with your assassin abilities by enhancing them with these magic abilities. And I, for one, really enjoyed that. And like you mentioned, multiple ways to play, how you can get around pretty much, you can get through the level in whatever way you want to. Yeah. And the level design. Boy, oh boy, those levels were.
Boy, oh boy.
They're so cool. Like, I personally think I remember from the first game that party you go to. I thought that was a cool level
where
you have to go to a masked event.
Yeah, and that's like, that part is so cool because it's like you're still being stealthy. You're still like in this assassin mindset, but you're out in public. Super dope.
Exactly. I like that a lot. But yeah, that's my hot take on our latest inductee into the GOATs of Gaming Hall of Fame.
Woo! Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say, that year that Dishonored 2 came out,
yes,
wasn't even nominated for Game of the Year. No, it was going against Overwatch, which won, Doom, Inside, Titanfall 2, Uncharted 4, and that's it. Okay. I will say, Titanfall 2, come on now. We could have swapped that one out.
Okay. Yes, I have a bias because I love Titanfall 2, because like, it was, they put that story mode in there. I was like, okay, come on now. But I agree. I think Titanfall 2 and Uncharted probably could have, you know, been dropped. And
you know they won. Oh, wait. Actually, I take everything back. Dishonored 2 won Best Action and Adventure. Whoa. Yeah!
Just not Game of the Year. It's okay.
Just not Game of the Year. I'll take Best Action Adventure.
I will take it. It was.
And it won over Hitman, Hyper Light Drifter, Ratchet & Clank, one of my favorite games.
Whoa.
And it beat Uncharted 4. Out for Best Action Adventure.
I'm gonna be honest, I'm not surprised. Out of those games, like, come on. Dishonored 2, bro. Come on.
Come on, man. It's a classic.
It is. A modern day classic.
But yeah. So, with that being said, everybody, please, if you got a PlayStation 4, if you got an Xbox One, if you got a PC, go pick up Dishonored 1. Go pick up Dishonored 2. And maybe, if you really like them, go pick up Dishonored, Death of an Outsider, because these games are god dang fantastic.
Indubitably.
But with that, guys, we're going to pull one out for Dishonored, the Dishonored franchise, for making it into our Ghosts of Gaming Hall of Fame here.
Yes.
And we're going to close it out. So thank you all for listening to Player Player. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice. Please rate us 5 stars on iTunes. We appreciate all the people that have been rating us so far. And please tell your friends about us. If you want updates about future episodes and giveaways, follow us at Player Player Pod on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. And until next time, guys, keep gaming.